Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
It's Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Did I get that right this time?
I think so.
And it's
online.
12 minutes past two, and online, of course, yes, don't forget that. And we have a couple of guests in this afternoon. Maggie, would you like to introduce our guests, please?
We have the lovely Miriam Tong.
Good afternoon.
And the lovely Chris Kane.
Good afternoon.
And they're both come here from the Isle of Wight Society for the Blind, and they come to tell us all about everything.
Yeah, so Isle of Wight Society for the Blind does what it says on the tin.
Absolutely. We're your local sight loss charity, independent of any national organisations. And in fact, we're one of the island's longest established charities. We've been in existence since 1895. However, neither Chris nor I exactly have been there since that time.
1895, it's currently in Carisbrook. Was it always in that place? Do you know?
I think in the early days, it was earlier. It was in Staplers Road, and I think possibly originally it was almost run from somebody's home,
okay,
more or less.
So it's one of the oldest established charities on the island. Then certainly the oldest one for sight loss that's island based, and you support people who have all degrees of sight loss. Is that true?
Absolutely, yes. Although our name is Isle of Wight Society for the Blind, of course, that term is no longer really in current usage. People are classified these days as either sight impaired or severely sight impaired. So we are currently looking at the possibility of changing our name to reflect that and to be more inclusive. But we're working on that at the moment, and hopefully we'll be able to come back in the new year and tell you all about our possible
changes.
That'd
be fantastic.
It's a lot to think about, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So, your job is...
I'm the chief executive.
So you're the big boss.
I was delighted to join in April of this year. We're a very small team of staff. There are just five of us as staff members, and only two of those are full-time team members. But of course, we're immensely fortunate in having an extraordinary large number of volunteers, some 90 volunteers, who all give various amounts of time very generously to fulfil quite a wide variety of functions to help us provide services and support for visually impaired islanders.
Okay, and what sort of services are they that you provide?
Well, there are a number of regular activities. One of the most popular is, in fact, our audio library service, which produces everything from a talking news, an edition of the county press, that a group of volunteers record each Friday and we send out to our members. That's a very popular service. We also have an audio library with recorded books and cassettes, again, especially popular with older people who are visually impaired and are less mobile. We have a number of groups and activities that meet at the society. We have a group called the Knitters and Natterers, but they do more than knitting and nattering. We have a group called the Owls, who enjoy speakers and musicians who come and entertain. We have weekly coffee mornings, and then there are various activities that are regularly run for service users at other premises. So we have at Ride Pool the swimming group, who meet every Tuesday evening, and we also have at the Stridge Golf Group golf course a golfing group who meet once a month on Sundays. But of course, we're very keen to extend our range of activities. We also have regular strollers and striders. And as the name suggests, strollers tend to go for more gentle ambles, and the striders set out on more rigorous stretches. And again, all of these activities are supported with volunteers. We're fortunate to have some wonderful volunteer minibus drivers, escorts, and people who help at the activities and sessions.
So could I ask you, Chris, you're the technical bod, if we can call you that.
Yeah, call me what you like, maybe.
I wouldn't dream of. When you're sending out your talking newspapers, call it talking newspapers, does it go? I mean, it used to go on cassettes. Does it go on cassettes now?
Not anymore. It's actually a very slick operation. Basically, we have volunteers that come to Millbrook House on a Friday morning, 8 o'clock, with the county press, they'll flick through, they'll take out, obviously we can't read every single article, but they'll select it, some news stories, some sports,
headlines that jump out.
That then goes upstairs to our studio, where we have volunteer readers who will then record the stories. Once all that's done, they then go onto a memory stick. We use. It's now memory sticks.
Little wee things.
These little tiny little things that go in a little plastic wallet, and they go out the same day, so they catch our 2:45 posts. So most of our service users will get it either on a Saturday morning or Monday.
Because some years ago, when I lived up in Essex, my parents used to read for the local talking newspaper.
Okay.
And they would go out on cassettes and things. There'd be great rodges of these things in envelopes. Yes. And so it's all a bit different
it's
now.
It's all a bit different now.
That's good.
Yes, yeah. And it seems to work very well. Yeah, everybody works extremely hard to make sure it goes out on the day so that the news is fresh.
Well, it's got to be, isn't it?
Yes.
Otherwise, there's no point, is there, getting it a week later? Pony Express.
Have you actually seen the studio up there? I've been privileged enough to have a look inside that little studio. It's quite compact, but very effective.
I wasn't allowed because I'd break
it. No, you'd break it, I know. But so that's one of the services that you provide on a regular basis,
yes.
Plus all these others, which is it kind of a look at the more social side of supporting people as well, by the sound of it, with these walks and things.
Absolutely. And the thing, of course, I forgot to mention is on a very practical level, we also promote low vision drop-in sessions and help people identify aids and equipment that would enable them to make best use of whatever residual sight they might have. And we're very fortunate to have had a new team member, Laura Jasper, who's recently joined us and who was formerly a dispensing optician. So is especially well placed to promote our low vision service. So that's something that's very, very important.
So that could be anything from a simple magnifying glass.
Absolutely.
To do we still do Kurzweil readers?
There are more modern, up-to-date sort of software programs that are compatible with people's computers.
So it's a blast from my past, that one.
Yes, to enable people to access information more readily.
I know my mum has great big light, doesn't she?
Yes, she does, yes.
She can see better with this huge light behind her, because she's 94 this year, she's still reading.
Wow.
And last year we bought her
A Kindle,
that was it. We said to her, did you want a Kindle for Christmas? She said, I think I might. And it's quite lightweight.
Yes.
And of course it's backlit as well. Mm. And she can have the type as big as she wants. So that works for her.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's nice to have some mainstream equipment
that
you can
use.
I did
download some books onto it as well. So I thought,
yes, you did.
You might need to read something.
Yes.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a track into the break, and perhaps we could talk after the break about how you can assist the families of people with sight impairment, if that's a suitable topic for you. So we're going to have a bit of Craig David at a break and come back with some Moose Tea, I think. Ooh. Bems. Disco Inferno, Saturday Night Fever, and all that from the 70s.
Mm.
Yes, I remember. And Chris, who's still here, was telling us that's one of his kind of things.
Oh, well, why not?
70s, I love the Saturday Night Fever stuff.
Yeah, of course, who wouldn't? We've got Chris and Miriam here from the Isle of Wight Society for the Blind. And during the break there, we're talking about how you get to access the services at the society.
Yes. Well, most people are referred by their GP or optician to St Mary's, and we have a wonderful service there. The eye clinic liaison officer often then helps people identify what further assistance is available. And often that's how people then find out about us and what we can do to help. And thinking of our low vision clinics, we have in fact got one coming up very very shortly, the 21st of November, 2:30 to 6:30, and that's going to be a perfect opportunity for anybody with family members. We've got a twilight session in the hope that we will be able to attract some of the younger people who suffer with visual impairment on the island to be able to come along with parents or guardians at the end of the school day and after the end of the working day to again see what the current range of equipment and gadgets and gizmos are that might make everyday living that little bit easier.
I presume the technology for this is moving on all the time.
It is. One of the really exciting innovations that we've recently taken on is a little camera device that is clipped. It's a tiny, tiny camera that clips literally to the sidearm of your spectacles or glasses. And if you hold any document that you're wishing to read just in front of the camera, the camera will capture that and then read it back to you. So this is really exciting, innovative technology. Of course, it is quite expensive, and I think because it's new technology, that is going to be the case for a little while. But certainly very, very useful piece of kit.
I think I've heard of this. Is it capable of recognising faces as well, I understand?
It is. It is.
It also can kind of identify your age to a degree. I think it even gives you a...
This is technology from the States, isn't it? They were using it for something else, and it's been adapted to meet this particular need.
I think it's a company that from Israel that's developed it. Was then sort of piloted for a while in the States before it was introduced into the UK. Okay. So still quite new technology, and I think there are probably a lot of people out there who still haven't yet had the opportunity to try it out. And of course, especially with anything that's expensive, you really need to be confident that it is the right equipment for
you. Absolutely.
So the whole point of these low vision drop-in days and sessions is to enable people to come along and try out equipment and work out what will be useful to them.
Do teenagers have a specific want, if you like? So it's got to be fashionable. So I'm not wearing those glasses, I'm not wearing this, I like this, I don't like that, colours. Mm. Do they have any specific demands?
This will be the first occasion that we will have specifically reached out to younger people, so it'll be interesting to work out if they are very different to dealing with our more frequent older
members. I know my daughter, she has bilateral hearing aids, and she got them from the NHS, but she's pimped them. She's put different colours on and dinosaurs. I mean, she's 40, but there you go. But she wanted something different. So I just wondered with...
Well, certainly the flexibility with this camera, you can fit it to the sidearm of any glasses. So certainly if fashion and style is your thing.
So it's not this huge, great thing.
It's a very tiny, barely visible... piece that just on the arm.
Oh, right.
So you've got one of these to try, have you?
We have. Wow. We are working with a company called Allcam to help promote this new technology. And
that's very interesting. I'd heard about this in another sphere of things that I'm involved in. I'm amazed that they're dishing these things out for trial, which is excellent news.
I think as long as we make very good use of it and share it with as many potential users as possible.
Okay. Right, we'll move on to another aspect of the operations of...
That's fundraising, isn't it?
Yes.
Dress for less,
certainly. That's one of our important visible ways of fundraising, and Dress for Less, now at 114 St James Street, recently relocated to a slightly larger premises, a fabulous shop, more or less opposite. I dare name the pub? Is that allowed?
Yes, I thought, Moonspoons.
Oh, that one, yes, I wasn't going to mention it, but as you happen to mention it, yes.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I was thinking more the Newport Social Club. It's almost opposite that as well, isn't it?
It is, yes it is.
We know that shop quite well because our friends used to have it as a florist, and they had the air conditioning and stuff put in. So.
Yes.
Yeah, so yes, it's I know, but it's nicer than the old shop, isn't it?
It's much more spacious, and I think we have more sunshine on that opposite side of the road, and certainly more traffic being just that little bit closer to the main shopping street.
So the premise then for Dress for Less?
It's a very much a high-end boutique. It's not your typical average charity shop. We're very fortunate that our lead volunteer there, Julie Clifton, has been in the fashion industry since her youth. She's now a very mature and sophisticated, absolutely, a mature and sophisticated woman. She has a wealth of experience. And what really sets our charity apart is the quality of the window dressing, the quality of the clothes that we take, and also the quality of service. We pride ourselves on still very much giving people personal advice, personal service, help with fashion, and the shop is arranged in colour palettes, so if you know that your fashion colours are blue and green, you will find yourself drawn to the rails where those colours are displayed. Mm. So it's a very good place to find some excellent bargain fashion wear. We also operate a 50-50 dress agency. So for anybody who's been on a fabulous cruise, been to a fantastic wedding, and you've had to buy a rather special outfit that you wonder now what you're going to do with it sitting in the back of your wardrobe, well, Dress for Less is the place to take it. We take good quality design labels, and we sell them on your behalf, and keep 50% of the proceeds to send directly to the charity, and 50% is returned to the donor of the goods. So it's a very good way of upmarket recycling.
It certainly is, yes, it is. So just tell us again where that is.
That's at 114 St James Street, Newport.
Okay, I know exactly where that is. As I say, not far from Moonspoons, opposite the social club. You can't miss it. And it's a nice, big, light, airy shop now, isn't it, that one?
It is.
And excellent.
That's not your only means of fundraising, though, is it? Because I was with you on Saturday at your autumn fair.
Yes, we had an autumn fair, and we have a number of local fundraising events throughout the year. We traditionally go to a number of the major shows and events that take place across the island, especially during the summer months, and I think that's increasingly something that we want to do to ensure that people know about us, know what we do. But I think we're going to be open to new fundraising ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Chris, who's recently been promoted to Marketing Communications and Fundraising Manager, will very much have in his plans over the coming weeks, we'll be looking at all of our fundraising plans for the whole of next year, and developing, I hope, some new ideas and new approaches, because the autumn fair, generated over £500.
Wow,
that's good.
Which is great, and thanks to all of those people who supported us. Thanks to the volunteers and the many people who contributed in a variety of ways. But we're very keen to develop new ways of fundraising, and hence Chris's new role. But of course, I'm going to let Chris get a word in edgeways here, because one of our newer fundraising events that was launched last year and was very successful was our story writing competition.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And we're looking forward to a repeat of that event this year.
Yes, indeed we are. Okay, well, should we take a short piece of music first, and then we'll have a bit of time and a break, and we'll have a bit of time to talk about this year's story writing competition, which I'm actually looking forward to, because we were at last year's one. It was great.
Excellent.
Got a bit of Dua Lipa and a break, and then some Adam and the Ants, and we'll come back and talk about that. From the 80s, well, he would be, wouldn't he, Adam and the Ants?
We saw him the other year.
We did, yes. He's kind of got his act together again now, hasn't he? Because he had a bit of a bad time,
did
Adam and the Ants.
But he's much better. He sounds really good.
He's sounding good. He's sounding good live. I was very impressed with him. Right, talking of live, we've got live in the studio Chris Kane from the Old White Society of Planet. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I got a book on dodgy links for presenters.
You got it from Tony Black?
No, not from him. So, Chris, one of the staples of coming up to Christmas is the Isle of Wight Society of Lions story writing competition, mm-hmm. for me and Maggie, I think, too.
Yes.
And that's coming up again this year. So just fill us in, please.
It is indeed. It's something we did last year for the first time the Society were involved. It was from an idea from Bob and Carol Bridgestock,
yes.
who have done it, I think, for 8-9 years.
Something like that.
Various
yeah.
places. And as they are our patrons, they very kindly, well, we got involved last year, and as did your good selves.
Mm.
And it was very successful. Last year we had over 150 entries.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had a big awards ceremony at Newport Minster, and it was just a lovely evening. So we're doing it again this year.
Yes.
So people, if you are interested, you budding
you
authors,
got long now,
you haven't got long. You've got till Friday. Friday at sort of 5:30 at close of Waterstones end of day.
Yes.
To get your stories in.
Okay. I mean, you may have already written one, just haven't got the form. So yes, by all means, get on with it.
Absolutely.
Forms
available from Vectis Radio, from our website, from Dress for Less, Or even from Millbrook House, where we are based at 137 Carisbrook Road.
Mm-hmm. And there's several categories, aren't there?
Yep, there's the under-12s, the 12 to 17s, and 18+.
Okay.
So what we did, basically, there are three, we're going to have three celebrities who will read the three winning stories. Mm-hmm. We have Robert Glenister.
Oh, yes, yes.
He's been in various things, Spooks.
He's been all over the place.
He's
got a fantastic voice.
Great voice.
Hustle.
Yes, Hustle. That's right. Yeah. He's also been in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also from Doctor Who, we have Katie Manning.
Yes.
Who was the assistant to John Pertwee.
She was,
back
yeah.
in the 70s. And we have the lovely Adana Minghella, jazz singer, who is known to most islanders.
Yes, she is.
So all three are reprising their roles again and
okay.
this good year for us.
Isn't it? Mm.
And the closing date is Friday close of business at Waterstones on Friday this
yes.
week.
Yes.
And on Saturday you're going to start the work, aren't you?
We are starting the work, aren't we, Maggie?
We are.
Yes, we'll be sorting through separating them into different categories. Mm. We have to anonymise the entries.
Yes.
Because we have three mystery judges. So they won't get a name or anything. They'll just get a story title and the story. So it'll be judged purely on the story.
Okay. And the theme is the spirit of Christmas, is it?
Spirit of Christmas. So people, I'm sure, will use their imagination.
I hope so.
That could mean anything.
Could mean anything. Last year's ones were really quite off the wall, some of them, weren't they?
Some of them were, yes. Some of them were quite dark.
Yes. Even. Yes.
But some absolutely superb stories.
Oh, great stories. They don't want to be jolly because it's Christmas. They could be quite dark if you want.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Totally up to your style.
The youngest entrant was 4.
Oh, yes. He was a cutie.
He was, yeah, excellent little story. Story called Moonland.
Yes.
And the oldest person was in their 90s. Mm. So yeah. Quite a broad spectrum.
And when is the award ceremony?
It is on Monday the 18th of December.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 5:30. It's at Newport Minster.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual ceremony will be at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Vectis Radio will be there in the guise of me and Maggie, I suspect.
And we will be playing the winning stories out.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Not
on that night.
No.
That'll be part when we've got loads of prizes available. But obviously part of the prize would be to have the story.
We'll play it on the radio and we'll be interviewed.
Yeah.
And we can put all that together as a nice little package for coming over the Christmas period at some point.
I seem to remember that Chip was there last year and he was interviewing Father Christmas because he was so excited. It was Father Christmas.
He was interviewing.
He did really well.
Good.
Yeah.
And the Minster is a lovely setting for it
Isn't it, John?
It's just the right
place.
Especially
if they turn the heating on.
Yeah, which they did.
They did last year. The year before they didn't. We all sat there in the overcoats.
I'll make sure it's on this year as well.
So, just go through that again. Finish, the competition closes to this week on Friday night.
Yep.
And the award ceremony is on
Monday the 18th of December at Newport Minster. Doors open from 5:30.
And all these details are on the Otherwise Society of Mind website.
Yeah, on the website. So any questions, you can always give us a call or you can email me. It's all on the website. So
okay, and the website is?
It's www.iwsb.org.uk.
And all the details, address for this and everything else about the society is on there
It's all there.
So, well, thank you, Chris.
My pleasure.
That's lovely to have you in today.
Can I just, one more thing?
Of course you can.
From last year, because we had 30 winning stories, we have actually, we've just put them all together on 4 CDs.
Okay.
Which we are hoping to sell. So if anybody would like a nice Christmas compendium of Christmas stories, then we will have them available.
And how much would they be?
It's going to be £5 per CD.
Mm.
However, with a very, very special offer, you can have all four if you want the whole set for £10.
All right, and this all goes into the coffers of the...
It all goes back to the Isle of Wight Society.
Excellent. So it's a good cause.
It all stays on the island.
And the stories are top class, I have
they
to say.
Are.
The ones
They're
I've
excellent.
Heard are really, really good and different.
Mm.
Yes, you'll enjoy that.
Mm.
So we'll be there, and I hope we got loads of entries this year.
Yep, let's hope so.
Let's hope so. Well, we'll find out at the end of Friday, won't we?
Let's hope we're busy on Saturday morning.
I'm sure we will be.
Just give me some coffee.
Give Maggie some coffee. It'll be absolutely fine. Right, thank you very much for coming in. Lovely to see you again.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And we will no doubt talk again in the new year. Well, we'll talk again in December, won't we?
We will.
We'll be there sticking microphones up people's noses and answering questions. I know that there'll be some dignitaries there as well.
Well, we'll see. There'll be some people.
There'll be some people
there. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.